Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
That when you hear things over and over, the same thing, back to back to back, know that I'm talking to you. Know to lean in a little bit. Know that when you hear something, and then you hear it again a different way, and then you hear it again a different way, I'm trying to get your attention. And so before I even get started this morning, I want you to know that God is trying to get your attention. And I want you to listen in and lean in and know that the way that this whole service is woven together so perfectly had nothing to do with us and everything to do with how God was working it out and wanted it to be today. So there's been kind of a buzz around Hope City for this Unstable series. I keep hearing again and again, man, this has been exactly what I needed. And thank you, God, that he knows exactly what we need. Last week, Pastor Jason talked about allowing God into your baggage. And if you didn't hear that message last week, you need to go back and listen to it. I listened to it on the website this week, and I was like, whoo, that is good stuff. It was powerful. You can listen to any of our messages, including Pastor Jason's message from last week, on myhopecity.church, or there's a Hope City app. Both of those things have all of our messages. So if you weren't here last week, go back and listen, because, man, it was good. This week, we're going to be finishing up the Unstable series, and next week is Vision Sunday. I can't wait for Vision Sunday. Bring somebody. Bring somebody with you to Vision Sunday. Tell them that they need to be here, and it's exciting. I can't wait to share it with you guys. So if you've been following along with us, we have been walking through the story of King Saul and his life, and to say that King Saul was unstable feels like a little bit of an understatement, because this guy was like the definition of chaos. Last week in chapter 10, Pastor Jason spoke out of chapter 10 when Saul was anointed as king, you know, the day that they found him hiding in the baggage. That same day, Samuel had heard words from God and to give to Saul as direction for moving forward. These words were straight from God. Let's take a look at them in 1 Samuel chapter 10, starting in verse 5. This is Samuel talking to Saul. He said, "When you arrive at Gibeah of God, where the garrison of Philistines is located, you will meet a band of prophets coming down from the place of worship. They will be playing a harp, a tambourine, a flute, a lyre, and they will be prophesying. At that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them. You will be changed into a different person. After these signs take place, do what must be done, for God is with you. Then go down to Gilgal ahead of me. I will join you there." This is Samuel talking. Samuel saying, "I will join you there to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings. You must wait for 7 days until I arrive and give you further instructions." These are very specific words for Saul from God that he had given to Samuel to share with Saul. I would like to think that if a prophet like Samuel were giving me words straight from God's mouth, I would like to think that I would listen and that I would follow it to the letter. We're going to find out if King Saul did that or not. Let's jump down to 1 Samuel chapter 13, and we'll find out. By now, King Saul is like seemingly coming into being king. Things are going just about how Samuel had said that they would go. He did run into the Philistines, and he defeated the Philistines. But now, the Philistines are mad. They're mad. Let's pick up in verse 4 of chapter 13. All of Israel heard the news that Saul had destroyed the Philistine garrison at Geba, and that the Philistines now hated the Israelites more than ever. It's interesting that they say more than ever, because these two groups of people have been fighting a long time, you know, like since David was a little boy. So the entire Israelite army was summoned to join Saul at Gilgal. The Philistines mustered a mighty army of 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and as many warriors as the grains of sand on the seashore. And they camped at Michmash, east of Beth Haven. The men of Israel saw what a tight spot they were in. And because they were hard-pressed by the enemy, they tried to hide in caves, thickets, rocks, holes, and cisterns. Some of them crossed the Jordan River and escaped into the land of Gad and Gilead. Meanwhile, Saul stayed at Gilgal, and his men were trembling with fear. Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel, as Samuel had instructed him earlier, but Samuel still didn't come. Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away, so he demanded, "Bring me the burnt offerings and the peace offerings." And Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. Just as Saul was finishing with the burnt offering, Samuel arrived. Saul went out to meet him and welcomed him. And Samuel said, "What is this you have done?" Saul replied, I saw my men scattering from me, and you didn't arrive when you said you would, and the Philistines are at Michmash ready for battle. So I said, the Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal, and I haven't even asked for the Lord's help. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering myself before you came. How foolish, Samuel exclaimed. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. Yeah. Sit with that for just a minute. Saul had some consequences that he had to face. He went his own way. When things started getting a little hairy, he said, "I got this. I got to do something." Right? Isn't that so like us? We pray prayers like, "God, you can have it. I trust you. My life is yours. I want to follow you." And then at the first sign of danger, we snag control right back. Because we need to do something. That's what Saul said. I had to do something. They were coming after us. You have to do something. So we take things into our own hands. How's that working for you? It's like Pastor Jason said last week. When things start to unravel, we turn to the same baggage that we've turned to every single time in the past. And it's gonna get us the same results. There's a few truths that we can learn from King Saul in looking at this passage. And these are truths that we have to buy into if we're going to grab hold of the stability that Christ offers us. The first truth is this: control is a thief. Control is out to seek, to kill, and to destroy. Many of us hold on to control because we think that it actually protects us against anxiety, against fear. It keeps our world from crumbling, right? We believe that if things go exactly the way that we have in mind, that nothing's going to go wrong. The truth is, your need for control is ruining you and stealing your peace. Control kills peace. The need for control leads to anxiety. It leads to fear, a racing mind, quick decisions, and instability, which are all the opposite of peace. Control is stealing the good things that God has in store for you. I think some of you need to write that down. Control is stealing the good things that God has for me. Look at verse 13 and 14 again. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. God had a plan to keep Saul as king over the Israelites for the rest of his life. But because Saul panicked and went his own way, that plan could not take place. God has a best plan for your life too. And with that best plan are so many good things. But when you take back control, it robs him of being able to give you those good things. When you take control, when you take matters into your own hands, it robs God of what he has in store. Control is a thief. The second truth that we can learn from King Saul is that God's word is 100% true. Saul had no problem believing God and his words when he was anointing him as king. But as soon as things started getting challenging and Saul really had to trust that God was in control and had this taken care of, he started doubting God's words. Guys, you don't get to pick and choose what part of God's words you're going to take and hold on to and what you're going to throw out. You don't get to choose. We love to take hold of the promises that God gives. The promises like the one that Aaron spoke over the Israelites in Numbers chapter 6. He said, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." And we're like, "Yes, God, I love your words. Your words are so true. Your words are 100% true. I'm going to write that down. That is my life verse." But then when it comes to verses like Galatians 5, 19 through 21, that says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now you want to pick and choose what parts of God's word are 100% true. Now you want to take the good ones and throw out the bad ones, the ones that are hard, the ones that make your life a little bit more difficult. Now you want to choose. Guys, as soon as you start deciding which of God's words you want to hold on to and which of them you want to throw out, you are taking God off of his throne as the king of your life, and you're putting yourself there instead. And let me tell you, that is dangerous business. "But Pastor Cherie, there's some stuff in there that's really hard. Some of it doesn't really make sense to me. It goes against culture and society. It's really hard." I know. He's God for a reason. It's not supposed to make sense to you. He's God. He knows better than you. You want peace and stability in your life? God's word is peace and stability. What's appropriate and acceptable and correct and offensive and not offensive in society changes so much that we can't even keep up. But God's word never changes. It's above culture. It's above time. It's beyond national lines. It's not changed by seasons or fads or anything else. God's word is above all else. There's so much peace that's found in that kind of stability. In a kind of stability that we don't have to worry about if we're going to wake up and head to social media and everything we known and studied all this time is changed. We don't have to worry about that because God's word stays the same. That's where stability is. The final truth for today that we can learn from King Saul was this. Stability is found in submission. Whew, that word submission, it gets a bad rap. Like even as I say it, some people are getting a little uncomfy in here. But let me read you the definition of submission, straight from Merriam-Webster herself. The action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. See, God would have established King Saul over Israel forever and made his kingdom flourish if Saul would have just been willing to submit to God's plan. Guys, submission is what you signed up for when you became a Christian. When you came into a relationship with God, you were saying that he gets to be the leader of your life and that you would follow. When you said yes to Jesus, you were accepting and yielding to a superior force. That's what you were doing. And we're so fickle. Well, I want heaven. I want salvation. I want my sins to be forgiven. But that submission stuff, I think I'll just throw that out. We don't get to do that. No wonder we're unstable. We're picking and choosing what of God's word we want to submit to and what we want to throw out. Stability is found in submission to God. And you might be in the room today, and you might be thinking, well, I never did that. I never gave God permission to be the leader of my life. But now that I think about it, you ask me, how's that working for me? It's not that good. And I'm really good at controlling things. I'm really good at going my own way. But it's gotten me in pretty good mess. You might be in here today and you might be thinking, you know, I actually think that this isn't right for me. I actually think that going my own way isn't getting me where I want to go. Maybe you feel that tugging. I want to go back to the first word that I said this morning. When you hear things time after time, you feel that tugging, God's trying to say something to you. And maybe what he's trying to say to you this morning is, I want to be the leader of your life. Let me.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.